Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
You may have heard last week that Pope Leo issued his first encyclical. An encyclical is a letter written by the Pope to the whole world, addressed not only to all Catholics, but to all Christians and to people of goodwill. The title of his letter in Latin is Magnifica Humanitas, which means magnificent humanity. And the purpose of the letter is spelled out in the subtitle, safeguarding the human person in the time of artificial intelligence. And the Pope lays the emphasis on the principles of Catholic social teaching, how the church interacts with the world. But before doing that, he says that the foundation for Catholic social teaching, right, lies in the very heart of our faith. And that's what we celebrate today, the Most Holy Trinity, which the Catechism calls the central mystery of Christian faith and life. So I'd like to just pull a quote from the Pope's letter to us. The mystery of the living God revealed in Jesus Christ, who as a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is love itself in relationship, expressed in the mutual gift of self. This is the mystery we contemplate today, which, like all the mysteries of our faith, is not called a mystery just because they're unknowable, but called a mystery because there's always more to discover. I'd like to read that sentence just one more time. The Pope writes, at the very heart of our faith is the mystery of the living God revealed in Jesus Christ, who as a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is love itself in relationship, expressed in the mutual gift of self. The living God is love itself. That means God isn't just a solitary being, but since love requires a relationship, God is relational. And human reason is capable of deducing that there is a creator of the universe. There's ancient philosophers who came to the logical conclusion that God is one. There must be a primary cause for everything that exists, which itself has no beginning. And God revealed himself as the one true God in the Old Testament, as we heard in the first reading, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. But in order to know that not only is God loving towards us, but is love itself. He had to make that known to us. And how did God reveal to us, which the Catechism calls his innermost secret? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus Christ is the revelation of who God is. And why does that matter to us? So that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. In revealing to us who he is, God has also shown us what we're made for, eternal life. We are made in the image and likeness of a God who is relational. And that's why we need good relationships to flourish and find true happiness in life. And God has not only created us to be in relationships with others, but to have a relationship with him. And what does that look like? Well, the Pope ends his letter by asking Mary to guide our steps. And on this final day of May, the month where we dedicate which we dedicate to Mary to honor her, I would like us to turn to her, to behold our mother so she can teach us what it looks like to have a relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So first, Mary was convinced of the Father's love for her. This conviction gave her the freedom to give herself totally over to his plan for her life. She knew the delight of the Father, that he delighted in her, that he loved her not because of anything that she had done to earn that love, but rather of who he is, that he is love itself. And as the first disciple of Jesus, she shared her whole life with him. She was there throughout his childhood and his public ministry, even when it meant the cross. Because she shared her whole life with him on earth, he now shares his life with her in heaven. So Mary knew the Father's love and then shared her life totally with the Son. And those things were only possible through her relationship with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her at the Annunciation. It was the Holy Spirit who filled her at Pentecost along with the apostles. So just as Mary pondered in her heart the things of God, she teaches us how to ponder the majesty of the Holy Trinity. She teaches us how to relate to the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that each of us is a beloved son or daughter of our Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally, and not because of what we've done, but of who he is. And that the Son has come to share his life with us so that we too are called to share ourselves totally with him. We're not just one day, not just one aspect of our lives, but to share our whole lives with the Son. And finally, to welcome the gift of the Holy Spirit, that in filling us, others too may come to know the love of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.